thing to remember his humanity by. I tell you, when your body feels, when you're good, when you're doing well in the spirit, and your body feels good, and you're flying high, you feel great, and you think you can, you know, it makes you feel, you know, like nothing can stop you. You feel very powerful and up, you know, maybe too up. With all the revelations and all the truth given to him, that he would be absolutely, without any sort of physical, something, you know, the Lord determined that Paul needed something to keep him from getting out of control. And God determined this in his own counsel. And so he gave him this thorn in the flesh so that he would not feel, you know, people are healed by me, this, that, the other by me, I do this, I do that, you know. God does many mighty works by my hand. And the Celestia should be exalted. And then he says, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, and reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then I am strong. So he asked the Lord three times that it would be taken from him. And he received the answer that the grace of God, my grace is enough for you. And what does that mean? The grace of God is what brings us to salvation. The grace of God which brings salvation. Salvation is impossible without God's grace. If God gives you his grace, that is sufficient for salvation. Not that that's going to be it, but that is sufficient. Meaning God shows his grace to you, it brings faith. And all that faith has added to it will follow. Because that is what God's grace does. The grace of God which brings salvation has taught us. Well, it teaches us. I want to quote that right. I don't want to misquote it because I like that verse. And there are plenty of other verses on the grace of God which clue us into the characteristics and nature and the work of the grace of God. God's grace is not bestowed based on our deeds. It is bestowed based on his goodness, on his will, on what is his good pleasure. He bestows his grace. It says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, Titus 2:11, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. What a wonderful thought. The grace of God teaches us certain things. That we should deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. But the reason I bring that up is because the grace of God towards Paul is everything necessary for salvation. Everything necessary for his works. Because you can't do those other things, meaning godliness and holiness and all that, without the grace of God. Because without the grace of God, you will revert to human nature, which is not divine nature, which is a wicked and sinful nature in the sight of God. Oh, you might be pretty good in the sight of man, but remember, man isn't judging you. God is judging. God has his own standards, his own particular way of looking at the world. So he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Meaning, that's the thing about the grace of God, takes weak people and turns them into something better. And so when we are weak, we need him more. When we are powerless, his power comes through us more. Doesn't mean like God needs us to be weak so that he can, you know, no. But that is how he has determined he wants things to work. So that we would depend on him and see our need for him in that manner. God could do things any way he wanted to. He doesn't even have to make a world. He doesn't need people. But how he gives it to us and how he expects us to react, that is according to his will. And that is what we have to seek. Seek his will. Thy will be done. So Paul says, so therefore, because God would rather be seen God of a, you know, let's say a cripple, than of a mighty man. Because when the wonderful works of God are done through a cripple, God is shown to be things he wants to be seen as. Champion of the weak. And he appears strong. And he appears as he is merciful and gracious, that he would give his gifts to such a wretched person. But then you give God's gifts, then if God were to be, go to someone who's strong and powerful and masterful, now it looks like, well, of course God chose him because he's strong and powerful and masterful. God would want to ally himself with such a strong, powerful, masterful man like that. And so God's strength is diminished, and the man's strength is brought into greater view. He is exalted, and God is, because you know, they look at the man's works and say, well, of course, God would choose him. What a man to choose. If I was picking teams, I'd pick him too. You know? But God does not choose like that. So Paul would rather glory in the things that he is weak in, that the power of Christ may rest upon him. He would rather, you know, I think he would rather not glory at all. But the problem is there are those who glory.